Hey guys, welcome to Your Mama's Podcast. We have a repeated guest today. As we say in the previous one, Nacho came back. Today, we'll talk about the relationship and he'll discuss how he mastered it.
I just heard you say like masturbate.
Hey guys, welcome to Your Mom is a Podcast. This week he's going to talk about relationships and maybe masturbating. I don't know. Tune in.
Hey guys, welcome to Your Mom is a Podcast. This week we have repeated guest Nacho Sanchez. Last week he was here in the studio talking about his life in prison. This week we explore topics of relationships, cheating, and who knows what else. Tune in, listen to everything Nacho has to say, and you can be sure to catch me hell as well, probably wearing this shirt. Thanks guys, see you soon.
Awesome. So, Nacho, first of all, let me tell you thank you for being here. Thank you for the story you shared with us last time. Because I took some notes. And I tried to apply the strategy of being a winner because you say something that it stuck in my mind. It was, if you are good with losing, so good luck with life. You're not going to succeed. And I was being always the guy who, when he plays some game, I'm giving the ball to the person that he haven't played much, but I wanted to be in the game, and I wanted to be fair, I want to be equal, I wanted to just enjoy the game.
You were cheating yourself.
I was cheating myself. And I was putting myself at the level that this guy, if he returned, because I gave him the move, if he returned it the way that I haven't expected, he can score. And that's in simple in some game, let's say pickleball. And when he score, he proved me that he's good and he can beat me, and I have to compete with somebody that is lower level than me instead of me attacking and proving that I'm better player, that I can show him his weak spots and I'll dominate the game. And when I dominate the game, everybody wanna play with the winner. And I'm practicing more and I'm proving my confidence that I'm a good player. And I feel so good to win. Even if it's small things in life, I feel so good to be a winner. Which I knew I was, I just didn't play that type of the game. That wasn't my strategy.
Mr. Nice Guy. That's what it sounds like. You were Mr. Nice Guy caring about somebody else's feelings, which is good because we all do. But in the game of life, sports, competitiveness, you got to keep the feelings away just because it'll prevent you from getting yourself to the next level. And ultimately, you want to take yourself to the highest level, which is why in everything, in sports, if you practice with somebody, sorry, your game's going to drop and you're never going to get better. So you always want to challenge yourself in however that is. So I'm glad you took that. And it's not by accident. I want everybody to know, like, this isn't scripted. This is just quick conversations right off the top of the head. It reminds me of like a freestyle in rap. I don't know if you guys listen to rap. It's not me writing. It's not nothing written. It's just a freestyle. So hopefully I do say a couple things that anybody listening could take and just better yourself.
Some notes everybody listening could try it yourself. You can take some notes. You can apply this strategy that Nacho will talk today.
Yes, and you said the key word. So that means, what that tells me is you are a sharp guy because you said confidence. Everything, that's number one. If you're not confident with yourself, fuck, I don't know how to help you. So you got to do whatever you can, whatever you need to do to be confident. And it don't matter what it is. It could be in sports. It could be with women. It could be with yourself. Whatever it is, you got to be confident because somebody will read that weakness if you're not. So I'm glad that you say, you know, I can already see you in your little scenario, when you lose your tie, you just walk off the court, as opposed to now you win 5-6 games in a row, you're walking with your chest up. And it's not about that, because you still always got to be humble, because humility is key. Like I said the last time we recorded, it's humility, it's respect, but ultimately you got to be confident. But then you got to be big enough, smart enough to tone that confidence down and still be humble, which is obviously my lesson that I learned, I thought I was fucking Superman as a youngster. What sat me down, what taught me humble humility was sitting down for 6 years and fucking really thinking about, okay, how bad are you now? Like, you got no freedom, you got nothing else. So it humbled me. It was a hard lesson, but this is why I'm sharing with everybody, whoever is listening. Like, always be humble, but be super confident. So there's a way to do both.
You guys have to practice confidence. When you think about what other people think about you and how to be nice to them, you're not going to be a manager. You're not going to be a leader. You're not going to put the way the things need to go to your perspective. You're always going to follow.
I remember you asking me in our first recording, did you have a chip on your shoulder? Were you in there ready to prove yourself, ready to prove you're a badass? And the answer was no, back in our first recording. So I'll give you guys a little scenario on a move that I made while being in prison. And I think I shared the story with, I don't know, a few people. They're like, are you kidding? Are you fucking serious? So just imagine you're in a 100-man dorm. You're living with 100 people and there's one shower. So now, obviously, there's a long line. So you're not just going to stand there and wait in line to shower. So the one thing that would hold your line and shower was your soap dish. Well, the shitty part is everybody's soap dish looked the exact same, right? So now you got 25 soap dishes in line on the ground waiting for the shower. And it's...
And that represent your turn.
That represents your turn.
Okay.
So now it's an honor system. Now you're hoping that everybody plays by the rules when you're in fucking prison.
And follow the turn. But
follow the term. Don't take my soap dish. You just hope that everybody plays by the rules. But obviously, fucking the odds of that happening is zero because we're in prison. There is nobody that follows the rules. Nobody follows the rules. So if someone was just like, steal your soap dish or kick your soap dish out of line, ultimately what they're saying is, I don't respect you. You're a fucking pussy.
But you don't know who's that soap dish is because they all look at the same.
Exactly.
So they don't do it personally. They do it because they want to just take further in line.
That, and they maybe didn't have a soap dish because there are ballers in there. There are poor people in there. And I know it don't make sense to most of you, but if you got some kind of hustle in there, you got money, you got a good soap dish, you shower with the good soap, with Zest, Bar, Dove. When the poor guys are just state-issued soap bars that smell like fucking ass. So the poor dude that got no hustle will steal your soap dish to now shower with some good soap. Again, it's just it's that survival mode, survival life. So my solution...
But were you able to point this guy and be like, don't steal my soap dish, but that's how you attacking him. And if you attack him, that leads to a fight.
Exactly. You can't go around and accuse like, hey, you got my soap dish. We'll prove it. So then it took me one soap dish to be stolen. I wasn't going to go accusing people because I wasn't in there to prove myself a badass. But my solution was I had a buddy who worked at the paint shop. So I had him take my soap dish one day to the paint shop. And I said, hey, man, I want you to paint this thing the brightest pink that you can find. He's like, what are you talking about? I go, man, bring my shit back fluorescent pink. And here's the reason being. Nobody else had a pink soap dish. So now, if someone moved or stole or did anything to my soap dish, now I know for sure he got a problem with me directly. So now it would be my move. That's my move. If he fucks with my soap dish, that's his move. So now my turn again. So either I establish myself as, hey, I'm going to defend myself. I'm no punk bitch. I dare you touch this soap dish, or I just let somebody pick on me, which is a fucking absolute no-no. So that was my move.
So the lesson of this story, the moral is, identify yourself with that pink dish, identifying everybody knows that's your dish, and if somebody steal it, it has a problem with you personally. So if you have like enemies, which probably not everybody gonna like you, and that's the that's a point. If you play by being equal, they're not going to like you. They're not going to respect you. So you play the move of being confident that, okay, touch my dish soap and I'll prove you that I'm the player that you don't want to mess up with.
Exactly. And to correct you, you sounded like you were right. Everybody's not going to like you. Somehow, by the end of year one in there, I was loved by everybody, by everybody. Like I said in the first one, the blacks loved me, the whites loved me, My people love me. I was just that fucking oddball. I don't, you know, that I'm going to call it oddball because I was just the guy who was cool with every single buddy in the facility. And I don't know what to give credit to that. Maybe, but again, I do know what the credit is. It's
identifying yourself and being a winner
and giving respect. It starts with respect though. Like it or not, you have to respect everybody to get it back. You know, I couldn't have, if I went around or tried a different way, it wouldn't have worked out that way because somebody would.
But what if you play basketball and football and you give them the option to score instead of you showing that you can win the game and being yourself? Like, you play the way that, okay, I'm going to beat every single one of you on every game you give me because I'm a winner. And that's how you earn the respect, and that's how you respect them back because they compete with you. And even in UFC, when people fight in 3-5 minutes rounds, at the end of the day, they hug each other. They'll be like, hey, like 5 minutes in the cage, you survive with me. Like, you beat my ass off. I beat your ass off. Obviously, we both winners. So now it's the judge to decide who is technically, by rules, by the system, the winner. But we both are fighters. We both are warrior.
So and you respect one another.
And they respect each other and they being friends. And it happened to me often when I have an enemy with somebody and we, like, have some problems. After we fight, we getting along more. We getting each other more. We start hanging out together because we proved that, okay, now we both have our points. Let's get this power together, unite.
Yes.
And focus on the bigger picture.
Yes. Yeah, very true. That happened to me a couple of times. Like, me and my best friend got into a fight at a young age.
But before that, you weren't the best friend.
We were best friends, and then after, it just made us strong. And that's just another way of not necessarily testing, but you know who you are. So if you do find yourself in a situation, you got to know who you are surrounded with, right? So if you ever start talking shit with one of your boys, you got to know that if shit goes down, he's not going to run the other way and let you get fucking trampled by 6-7 dudes. So this is our mentality growing up. Again, nowadays I don't got that mentality. I've grown up. Everything I say now is from way back in my heyday. But that's what we used to do. I got to make sure that you are willing to go down. And so if you fought me, win or lose, at least I know you're willing to fucking sit there and defend yourself and defend your boys and not be the guy who's just going to turn around and book it, because we've all seen that dude.
And after that, you realize he's a fucking pussy because he let you down and you're not going to talk to him anymore. So you have to surround by wolves, by winners. And the only way you have to understand, one of the ways you have to, like, read them that they're a winner, maybe you have to fight together. Maybe you have to argue about it. Maybe you have to compete in certain games to be like, okay, I respect that. I'll be your friend. I'll be surrounded by you because in every aspect, if you apply this strategy, you'll be a winner because you gave 100% of yourself. I love that.
That's it.
So instead of guys surrounding by someone that you don't know if he's going to run away if you get into a fight, think about it. Do you want to be with that guy? Is he not going to respect you, not going to protect you, prove you right?
And even beyond fighting, just in life. Say you get in trouble. Say you get pulled over and someone needs, like, in everything. You just got to make sure that they 100% have your back, regardless of what it is. If you get kicked out, you live with your girlfriend and she says, get the fuck out. Who's going to open their door? Who's going to take you in while you get back on your feet? When you get locked up for 6 years, who's going to fucking send you letters and not disappear? Because that's what really tells you who your real friends are. That's why me at my age now, I really don't got too many friends because I've eliminated through the process of that. When I was away, none of these motherfuckers were wanting to come visit me or had the time to come visit me. So I'm like, okay, cool. It was fun while I was out there. It was fun when I gave you something, when I was able to
show you
a good time.
So they're only using you for your power and want to take from your energy.
Yes, that's exactly it. And you find out. You find out real quick who's really there and who isn't. So that's why people ask me, like, hey, how many people? I don't talk to nobody. I got like two or three friends from way back in the day, and that's it. Everybody else is in my past, and that's my decision. That's why last time I said don't find me on Facebook and all that social media shit, just because I don't want any of them people surfacing, trying to, and plus I don't ride that same energy that I used to.
I listened to this guy in YouTube, Andrew Tate, and he was saying that he was with one more dude against seven more dudes, and they were about to fight, and Andrew was saying to these seven guys, he was proving the point that he shouldn't say sorry to some woman because he's right and he doesn't want to go down. And at some point, his buddy say, hey, bro, why just don't you say sorry to her and it's all over? So Andrew, instead of saying sorry, he realizing this friend of him is not on his side. So instead of he fighting these seven dudes, he start fighting his buddy and be like, hey, bro, if I start fighting these guys, you're not gonna jump for me. You're obviously not on my side. So punch you in the face, and the seven people, they're like, damn, he started with his buddy to fight first. And they got scared and they left.
Yeah, that's genius.
That's a genius move. So let's talk about the relationship part. How you apply this strategy of making a move in a relationship.
Quick example, I don't know if you guys can see the chessboard. So if you make a move and I lose that piece, that little pawn don't mean shit, right? Because everybody could lose something that don't mean nothing. So when I refer to making moves, it's go big, go bold. Something like this. Drop your queen somewhere, and if someone's willing to take her, oh well, fucking, I'm ready for it. And with that little analogy, I'm going to give you how I used to handle this. So we've all lost. And again, I'll always relate to sports, women, whatever. But every time we lose, every time our football team loses, I'm referring to NFL, what do? We go right into making excuses. There's always an excuse for a loss. You can't just man up and say, fuck, that one's on me. Or people just don't like admitting that it's their fuck up, right? So to your point,
and
in
that's
a relationship,
why they're scared to make the big moves with the king or the queen, and they make a little moves with the pawn, and they never experience what is to be making a bold move and in a situation that you don't know how to react.
Exactly. So with that said, it's okay, maybe you get caught cheating with your girlfriend, right? Oh, I got dumped, man, and it's my own fault because I got cheating. So now that's a little fucking sissy pussy move in my eyes. I say that because me, back in those heydays, I would set something like that up. Again, you always got to think 3, 4, 5 moves ahead, just like in chess. I got caught, but I set it up. I wanted to get caught cheating. I wanted the girl to walk in and watch me cheating. And it wasn't by accident. Now it does two things. It sharpens my skill up on how to get out of some real thick shit, because you can't make too much more of a bold move than that. And when I mean cheating, I mean like physically walking in while I am physically in
a
different
second.
Like literally physical, like come in and watch me in bed with somebody else. That is the boldest move you can make. And I did that.
Damn.
Reason being, if it was an accident, maybe I wouldn't have been able to get away with it. Maybe if I didn't know it was coming, oh fuck, I fucked up. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Fuck that. I did that on purpose so you can see this, because I already got my next move planned. My next move was already in my head. Once this happens, here's what I'm going to do, boo, 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 whatever.
So wait a second. Why are you making this move? Why you wanted to your girl to see you cheating?
Because at that time, I didn't consider a girl of my girl. I made it real loud and clear that I wasn't a guy that had girlfriends. I wasn't a guy that was trying to get serious. When you met me, it was pretty loud and clear that I had a couple other girls, because I tell you, I wasn't shy. I wasn't lying to you. I'd say, you know what? So if you want to get involved, I'm at the age that I don't want just one. So I might have 3 or 4 others right now currently, but you can join in. So when this one person, this incident, I guess they didn't believe me, because everybody could talk shit, right? Everybody can say this, say that, and say the other, but actions are the loudest speaker. I had to show this. I meant what I said. You didn't believe me. Watch. Right? My action.
watch what I'm doing in your bed with another woman.
And it, yes, and it sounds so fucked basically, up, shitty.
So basically, this girl, which you're proving her that you're that guy that she didn't believe into, you're proving her that she cannot control you. Be like, hey, share your location with me. Tell me where you're going. Who you gonna go with?
Fuck
Why
no.
don't take me with you? Yeah. So with that move, basically you're setting up the rules, be like, okay, you're this not gonna it. Control me in this relationship. You see me, who am I? If you wanna continue being with me, you have to deal with that shit.
Yeah. And I'm not the guy who's making that soft move, because every girl's seen the little soft move. Oh, I got another girl's number in my phone. That's a little pussy move.
Oh, okay. So
those little things, those little moves, yeah, that move meant a little pussy move. Like, oh my God, I got some girl's number in my fucking pocket when I came home from the bar last night. That's a little soft move. And you are going to risk the same shit. If you got the girl who is woman enough to say, fuck you, get the fuck out, which, again, this message is for everybody. So women, don't deal with that shit. Don't put up with that shit. Men, this isn't just for one sex or the other. Meaning, if you're going to risk losing that girl that you think is your girl, or that you are look dating or whatever you call it, simply by having someone's number in your pocket, why wouldn't you risk that same relationship by doing something real bold and getting caught on purpose? So now just fast forward, because I don't want to touch on this, but you guys are probably wondering, how did that move end up?
And how did
I'm glad you asked.
End up?
I ended up sleeping with both of them again days later.
Together.
I talked it down. Not together, different days. This one didn't leave, that one didn't leave, and I had one more player on my little team that I was building. So it works, yes. Am I saying do this, try this? No. I don't do it anymore. I want to put it out there. Like, I'm a whole different, like I said, that was back in my heyday. Nowadays, everything I've done, learned, I use it. I'll try to like coach, teach, but I have no shame saying now that I am finally a faithful man. Took me for this relationship I'm in now. I love my girl. So it's not me just talking shit and saying, oh, look what I did. Look, it's not that. It's
okay, but what do you think? Which one is better? Should you be a faithful man and be honest and be only playing with one girl to the rest of your life? Or actually, you are being outside on the market and doing you and not letting any girl control you and making you not play your rules?
Both. Both, because I don't want to be a hypocrite. It's when you're ready, do what I'm doing. I was finally ready to do what I'm doing now. Faithful, one girl, one everything. That's it. But I'm not preaching to the young 22 years old and 30 year olds to say, hey, go settle down. That's not what I'm saying. If you are in that game of trying to play and be a player and have 5, 6, 7 different women, I'm not telling you not to do that. I'm just saying, if you are going to do that, go bold. Don't be a fucking pussy and a jackass and pretend. So, and here's the difference. Like, it's easy for someone in a big city like this, Chicago, to have fucking 10 girls. If I lived in a city like this when I grew up, I'd have like fucking 67 girls. I grew up in a little valley. Everybody knew one another. So there was no lying for me. That's why I was forced to be honest. I was forced to say, you know what? Because the word got around. Oh, Nacho. Oh yeah. Don't mess with that guy. He's a fucking asshole. He's a player. He does this. So when they still would hold the conversation, I admitted all that. Yes, you are absolutely right. Everything you have heard is true. Yes, I am not ready to settle down. Yes, I do got 3, 4, 5 different girls that I mess with. Yes, yes, yes. Are you still interested? Yes. So don't lie, because it's easy to be what we call, you know, world class. If you got the money and travel, it's easy to have girls in every state. But now, my teaching, my growing up was in this little environment where it was well known. So my best policy was honesty. I'm not going to lie to you and say I don't do this, that, and the other. I'm going to be honest and say I got this, that, and the other. If you don't like it, perfect. I'm not missing out. But if you do and you're intrigued,
and girls still coming in and knowing you being that player, they still wanted to try, be like, okay, I'm going to change him. Every girl want him. He can have any girl. Now I'm going to be with her. with him, and I'm going to prove him I'm the one and only.
Exactly.
And?
Exactly. Because that's the thing. Women like challenges, just like men like challenges. So if they go into a challenge saying, oh, I'm going to be that girl to exactly what you just said, to settle him down, because I'm different, because I'm this. Okay, I accept the challenge, but there's only one winner and one loser. We all know that. And that's why, like you said earlier, if you are okay with losing and everything in life, good fucking luck. I'm not going to be the loser. Although you do lose along the way, you know, or you might regret some shit or whatever it is, but at the end of it, you learn, which is where I'm at now in my life. You learn, but I don't ever consider myself a loser. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's always a, even in a short loss or even in a big loss, even in whatever, like, you don't get down on yourself because as long as you learn something from it, you're good.
We discussed it in the previous episode. It's not a mistake. It's just a lesson.
It's
something that you have to put on and try it and get the most of it. Instead of, oh, what if I have done that? What if I was this person? You only want to think how it was going to be, but you never did it. In your case, you practice it, you did it, you prove it right. You cannot say you are proud of it, but you learn your lesson.
Yeah, you're right. And I mastered it. I mastered it. I would improve that skill at that age, because that's what was in. Me and all my buddies, that's what we loved to do, was that exact same thing that we're talking about. Just going out and meeting girls, whatever, not taking anything serious. But yes, was I like far ahead of everybody? Yeah, I was. I was the bravest of my bunch. Everybody was like, this dude is fucking crazy. How do you get away with half of the shit that you do?
But they don't know because they haven't tried being a winner.
Exactly.
That's coming from the mentality, from the confidence you have, from being a winner, and every game you play, you know you're going to outplay the opponent. In your case, you know what you want. You wanted to have multiple women. You wanted to not be into a relationship, and you made it happen.
And I'll take it further. What else I wanted that we haven't talked about is being taken care of by a woman.
Oh, no way.
Financially. You go to a bar and you see guys buying drinks. You go to and I was like, hold on, that's not going to be me. So that's another thing that I mastered, is being taken care of again. Am I proud of it? No, but yes, I mastered that, because we all know that
it's easy. Sex. It's easy with money.
Yeah, and sex sells. So even at that, like, it literally does sell, and that's why you know sugar daddies exist. Women use dudes for money. That's why, and vice versa. You know, it's not a one way street. It could go both ways. But even at that age, that was another. So the sleeping around was easy. The having multiple girls was easy. And again, you always got to challenge yourself. I said, so what's next? What can I do? Oh, shit, I need somebody to take care of me. This is what. So, and again, I tried it, mastered it, just to give you an example. There was but again, you got to hold strong to what you're doing and not budge. So again, when I went back and said, sex sells, it does. But it isn't, if it isn't for sale, the challenge is there. So now I found, you know, and I tried something with whatever, a girl. I knew, yes, if I wanted to take her to bed, I could do it. But that wasn't my objective in this little game that I was playing. My objective was like, okay, I knew she had some money. So every time we, you know, she'd take me out, it was a fancy, expensive dinner. Then it was drinks. And then it was this. But I was like, oh, wow. And I haven't even slept with her. Perfect. Great. So now me taking it to another level, I told myself I was never going to sleep with her. I'm just literally going to keep that carrot dangling so she continues doing what she's doing, because I know what she wants. But as long as I didn't give it to her, she's got to do what she's doing until she gets that carrot.
That same mentality as on the other side, when the girls use the guy to pay for the rent, to buy them a car, to buy them a purse, they're not going to sleep with them. Sugar daddy, most of the time, they don't even take the sex. Girl know that the sugar daddy wants sex because he cannot have it if without having money. He doesn't know how to play these moves. And they use him.
Yeah.
So you knew how the game works and you apply it to the other side.
Because it pissed me off. As a young man, I hated fucking witnessing that. I would hate, literally with a passion, I'd hate witnessing girls just getting everything bought. And that's why it turned me into who I was at that time. Let's go back to the first episode when you said, introduce yourself. Who are you? My first few words were, I'm a spoiled little brat growing up. It wasn't because my parents were rich. It wasn't anything other than what I'm talking about now. Girls were easy. All I did was play sports. I didn't really work at that age. Again, something else I'm not proud of. But when I figured out that I can get a long life just by doing what I did and getting taken care of by certain girls, that's what I referred to as being spoiled. I really didn't have to work hard for anything other than athletic and my personal just getting better at everything I did. That's the only thing that I worked at was my body physically, my skills and whatever sport I was playing in at the time. But everything else as far as just the real life, which means fucking working, paying for your bills, whatever, that didn't come for me until later in life because I was a spoiled little fucking asshole at a young age.
So money comes regardless if you show who you are and what you want. Instead of playing the game of, I'm going to work for money? No, I'm going to play sports, eat healthy, fuck girls, and money will come. Because that's the game I want to play. And you find a way how to master that.
Mastered it, yes.
Damn.
And like I said, a blessing in disguise. If I didn't go away for 6 years, would I have changed my lifestyle? Who knows? So now it's a blessing that I went away, sat down, thought, like, fuck, that was ugly what I was doing.
How that change? How your mentality changed when you became a father or when you went into prison?
Both. But the timing of it was kind of fucked up. So I knew I had to change when my daughter was in the womb. The fucked up part is I had already done what I did prior to that. So there was no change. So the timing was more fucked up than you could think. So even when I decided to change my life and I straightened it up and I wasn't going to do no more dumb shit, I was still fighting that case, which is exactly what happened. I was already a new guy, but fast forward a couple months, once my case was over, I still got sentenced, but the change was already here in my head. I knew I had to do something different. So it was my daughter. It was obviously having the time to sit there, think, read the Bible, figure out a higher power, something that can control me, because nothing could. Like, I was uncontrollable. So I found that. The Bible, my daughter, and finally just really buckled down.
But isn't it the system made you slow down and stopped you? Like, the system we live in, the rules we follow, the right and wrong in life, which is made by the government.
Yeah, for sure, in a sense, yeah, because if I didn't go away, I wouldn't have changed at the time. But if we're talking on the system, that's a whole different fucking recording, podcast, whatever. That is, I don't even like talking about that because y'all think I must have done something real stupid, but real crazy to fucking go away for 6 years in a fucking state penitentiary. Not the case. It was a fight. I beat somebody up because of my skin color, because of whatever else. I got thrown the fucking book and then they threw another book at me. So I got shitted on simply by a fight, which is, again, you learn from it. So at that time, obviously it costed me 6 years of my life. I also promised myself never again in my entire life will I ever fight again. Ever. Unless you touch my daughter.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I made that promise to myself. I would never. You could call me a pussy. You could fucking do whatever you want. As long as you don't touch my daughter, it's not worth me beating your ass to prove a point and then you going and calling the cops and then pressing charges and I'm the one sitting in prison for 6 years.
So the system pressed you.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. I was a clean puppy before that. I had no record. I wasn't a criminal. I did some dumb shit, but I was always smooth with it, never got caught. So that was my one offense. Did it cost me 6 years of my life? Yes. Should it have been 6 years? Fuck no. Am I over it? Yeah, of course. But the system that you're talking about is backwards.
So if your skin was different, do you think you were about to take 6 years in prison?
No, 1,000%. While I was fighting my case, I would see guys fucking manslaughter, drunk driving, kill somebody. And they leave. And it was guys fighting whatever it was. Like, cases that were in my eyes, 22 times worse than mine, get slapped on the wrist with 6 months, 8 months, 10 months. I went away for 6 years simply for a fight. But yeah, again, fast forward. I'm not griping. I'm not whining. That was so long ago. Don't feel sorry for me. Y'all watching and listening, don't fucking feel sorry for me. It was good. I'm glad it happened. I learned. But I also promised myself that. So now if me and you are boys and we go out, I'll tell you beforehand, I'm not fighting, dude. If you get into some bullshit, I'm running.
Okay.
Not because I'm a pussy.
Yeah.
But because I am not fucking going through that hellhole of 6 years in a fucking penitentiary ever again.
But most of the time, if you know you're not fighting, instead of running away, you're going to prove your point of not even getting into a fight. You're going to be like, yeah, bro, chill out.
That's it.
If I start fighting with you, you'll be done. So not even start. Let's have a drink. Let's not ruin your night. Go get your girls. There is many girls in the market. As you say, we live in Chicago. And most of the times, fights happen because of girls. Let's be honest.
Probably true. Yes. Nowadays, I would imagine. Remember, I've been out of that game. I don't go out to bars and do any of that in a long, 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 long time. But yes, that is true. But to your point, yes, nowadays, I would talk myself or my buddies out of a fight because it goes back to humility and respect. I have no issues going up to three dudes that are about to fight and apologize. I don't feel like I'm a pussy if I go up to you and say, you know what, man, I'm sorry. My dude is just a little drunk. I'm sorry for him. I'll take care of him. It's not that big a deal, man. Can I buy you a drink? I'm man enough to do that, but it took years for me to get to that because your initial instinct is, oh, what? You say whatever it is. You just want to react and
acting
fight.
Acting emotional instead of acting smart.
It's smart, exactly. And people respect you respecting them a whole lot more than a fight. And how hard is it to go apologize to somebody and say, man, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? And obviously they're going to see me and say, oh, man, this guy's a pretty decent sized dude. And he's saying sorry. So then again, it's a mental game. Like it throws him off like, oh, shit, I expected him of that whole crew to be the one to start fights because it looks like he could defend himself. But yet I'm the one going over and saying sorry and apologizing.
OK, but let's go back to the real story that everybody is trying to understand. How when the girl catch you having sex act in the bed that you sleep with this girl, she catch you cheating.
Uh-huh.
How you escape this? What did you do? What did you say? How did you manage it? Like, did she run away or she start crying or she start fighting you or what you have to do? How far you were in the relationship so you were willing to make this move?
It was, I almost, man, remember it clear as day. Got caught, the lights turned on, and then it was go time. It was show time. All right, literally, don't nobody panic. No screaming, no, okay, it's a fucked up situation. You go get out. You get dressed. You got to go. So I cleared the house myself. Like, both of you go. There's no arguing. I don't want to have a conversation with you while you're here, and I don't want to have a conversation with you while you're here. So you go fucking that way, you go this way.
Who did you send home? Like, you were late.
The girl that I got caught cheating with.
Okay, and?
And then the other was, it wasn't as easy, you know, it was a threat of, I'm leaving, I can't believe you just did that. My response to that was, actions speak louder than words. So now that you saw this, and I had pre-warned you before and you didn't believe it, now you saw it, so yes, you got to go. So when they leave, she sat in her car. She didn't leave. She sat in the car and then walked back in to talk about it. So that's how I won that one. Like, I was willing to lose both. Remember, a bold move, I'm ready to fucking lose both. That was the intention. But if someone really wanted to hang around still after that shit, I win. And if not, I still win.
Because you already slept with them.
Yeah, with both. And again, you know, apologies if it's too whatever, asshole-ish for who's ever listening. But I can't sugarcoat it. It works. I did that. And then again, fast forward to however long later. You know, that one I saved, the other one I saw weeks later or months later out and about.
Do they respect you? Do they still be like, okay, you tell us the truth. Obviously, you do what you gotta do because that's what your belief is. But after 10 years, 20 years, I'm not mad on you. I'm not like hating you. Do they hate you now?
I don't know. No, I have no idea. Probably not hate. They appreciate it. They appreciate.
And they're taking a lesson too.
The fact that the honesty was there. I didn't lie ever. Didn't lie. Not a fucking chance I lied. They appreciate that. They appreciate the craziness. Have you ever heard the saying like, they, you know, girls like that, bad boy. Or, you know what I'm saying? And everybody can pretend or talk like he's a bad boy. But do they show shit like what I showed them? So they might appreciate it. Like, that fucking dude was crazy. Like, that was fucking something else. But yet, what are they telling themselves after the fact when I'm with them again? Like, I don't know what conversation they have with themselves, which means for women who maybe are going through or dealing with an asshole like that, like, put your foot down and tell them to fuck off and leave. Don't put yourself through that shit unless you like them kind of games, because there are some girls who like that kind of crazy shit, which is another little tidbit bonus. Like, they do like that crazy shit, or else they would be married, or they would have a boyfriend, or they wouldn't be at the nightclub, or they wouldn't be at the bar. If they really wanted somebody, you know, suit and tie, professional, just fucking straight, blue collar, they wouldn't have been where they were where I met them. So you got to read the situation. You got to know, one, your audience, and then your surroundings. Like, okay, I met her there, so obviously she's single and she's looking for fun. So that's how I'm going to treat her. But now, and every girl's situation is different, obviously, you know. But yes, when you got to take it to that level, that's it's a different level. Don't get me wrong. It is a different level. But I did it. I did it and survived.
So what Nacho say, he had a strategy and he wanted to be a winner. Find yourself a winner in the situation you want to be a winner. And play it till the end. Even if it costs you the entire game, you have to make some bold moves with the real pieces in the chessboard. Not just with the pawn, but with the queen or with the king. So you experience whatever you want to prove to yourself, to your confidence, it's right. Put the cards on the table and let them see your moves and wait for attack from an opponent and be ready to confront and give the move back.
Yeah, that sums it up. I think for this show, there's more. There's definitely more. I'm just getting started. But this is a topic that we touched on today. I don't know if you guys, I don't know how this stuff works, but if you got questions or if you got a topic you want us to talk about, trust me, I've done it. I might give you a different angle on how to approach it, but again, it's definitely a strategy. I'm not going to tell you nothing stupid for you to fucking find yourself in some hole or, you know what I mean, or on the loser side of this game. So
it doesn't hurt to ask. Guys, whatever you think you have to do, but you're not sure, send us a comment. Like, reach out to us. Let's see if Nacho is willing to discuss that with us in the podcast next time. Maybe he will share something you never thought about it, because he have done it.
I'll even challenge, yeah, give me something good. I'll challenge somebody to say something that I haven't done or that I got no comment on. Like, stump me. That's a good challenge. Because, trust me, I think I've done it all. And if I haven't, shit, I'll shout you out. Like, man, I just got this comment from this one fucking dude that did. And I ain't never done no shit like that. That would be kind of fun, too. So, shoot a comment. Good, bad, ugly, whatever.
Let's use the power of internet. Connect each other. And share our stories. Ask a question and give us some topic we can discuss with Nacho. Thank you for staying to the end. Share it with a friend. Watch out with who you're sharing this video with, because it may your partner may find it and know what you're gonna do. And check your phone constantly. But with that risk come and rewards as well.
And yeah, that's it. I was just going to say enjoy. Hopefully you listen to it. Have fun with it. Share it. Be like, man, this I got some good stories here. And trust and believe that they're all true. They are all true. If you need witnesses, I'll bring all the rope. No, I'm fucking around. I don't talk to any of them.
Thank you one more time, Nacho, for being here.
Appreciate
Thank you for listening to the end. Like, subscribe, share, comment, and
sayonara.
Sign us up. Have a good day.